Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the GSMC Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff, and with me once again is my good partner in crime, Mark Souza. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, especially after hearing that ringer, theringer.com. They did that Luka Doncic, Hallelujah song. If you haven't heard it, you need to hear it, because it is the best song for the holidays, in my opinion.
And you've been singing it for the past 10 minutes before
you
we started.
Just, I mean, Hallelujah is just a song, a catchy song gets stuck in
I
your
only
head.
Know, I mainly remember that song from the Shrek movie.
Well.
I know it's from other stuff. I know it's from something else, but I always think about the Shrek movie when that song comes on.
You have to go listen to this one, though. Luka Doncic, it's an ode to Luka. Hallelujah by The Ringer. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. It's very well done.
I guess. Tell us what our rundown is today.
Yeah.
Besides the song.
Yeah, we need to talk about the NBA, what's going on, the latest and the greatest in the world of the National Basketball Association.
Especially Luka Doncic. Hallelujah.
We'll talk about the Markelle Fultz Philadelphia 76ers situation. We'll do that in the next segment. We'll talk about what's going on. Is this relationship headed for a divorce? We'll discuss that. We'll also talk about...
They might think about the kids before divorcing.
We'll also think about... We'll talk about the Utah Jazz and their problems. What is going on with this team? I can't get a read on them. Will they snap out of it? We'll dive in and discuss that later on in the show. Also, since the last time that we were here, the almighty Duke basketball team, we'll see how they've been doing. Have they, I don't know, lost a game?
No way. Impossible. We said they might go undefeated this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will discuss what's going on. That'll be in segment four, of course, with other news and notes. And also, well, I think we'll talk a little bit about the Clippers in segment four. Like, what's going on? They sit atop the Western Conference. Is this sustainable?
Or is it the end of civilization as we know it?
Is this a funny joke that has gone on too long? We'll dive in that as well.
You're taking the joke too far. They're first to the West. What do we do? Drop them. Drop the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the nuke.
So,
abort mission.
Why don't we jump into the latest and the greatest in the NBA.
Is that your new saying now?
No. Just what I'm saying today. Let's talk about last night. Some notable scoring performances. Where would you like to start?
How about the Rockets and the Wizards?
All right, talk about it. Let people know.
The Rockets, James Harden scored 54 points this game, a season high for him. But it became a losing effort as they fall to the Wizards in overtime.
No Chris Paul. Might have helped, yeah?
Yes, because John Wall was the key difference maker. There was a sweep behind... Do you see the sweep behind the back move he did on Harden? Basically made him into a blender.
Made him into a blender, huh?
He blended him. He blended him up real good.
So what was the final score on that?
The final score in overtime, this is why it's such a high-scoring game, was the Rock, or I guess we say the Wizards first. Wizards 135, Rockets 131.
Mm-hmm.
The final tallies for stats wise: James Harden 54 points, 8 rebounds, 13 assists, Eric Gordon had a pretty good game himself, all things considered. He had 36 points himself. And then, for the Wizards' sake, Beal and Wall both had over 30 points.
You want to hear something crazy?
I'm always into something crazy.
The Harden and Gordon backcourt combined for the second most points ever by a starting backcourt.
Really?
Yeah. They had 90 points combined, 54 and 36. Guess who they lost to in this record?
Who
the starting backcourt of the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe Bryant and Smush Parker. Yes, the Kobe Bryant 81-point game.
Who's Smush Parker?
Yeah, he had 16 points in that game, and Kobe had 81. So congratulations, Smush Parker, for contributing to the best backcourt duo of all time.
Well, and arguably the greatest, even because how well, because of the modern era, LeBron, Kobe hitting 81 points, maybe the greatest single-game performance in NBA history.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But Bradley Beal and John Wall, you mentioned it. Wow, what a performance by them as well.
Yes, absolutely. Both had over 30 points.
Yeah, and this was a game where the most points ever were scored by both backcourts in a single game. So
that's insane. My mind is blown.
The Wizards get this win. I would say it's a gritty win, considering the fact that they've been in some turmoil lately. Some bad news, some you know, drama going on in Washington, D.C., in the nation's capital, and it doesn't have to do with politics, believe it or not. But
what's,
man,
politics? I only know sports.
You think that this win and maybe the last couple of games for the Wizards have gotten them maybe back on track and maybe have alleviated some of that, you know, tense drama, frustration, whatever you want to call it?
Possibly.
Possibly?
Possibly.
Still yet to be determined?
Yeah, because it's only one game.
They've now beaten the Pelicans and the Rockets in their last two games.
Good for them.
And they beat the Clippers as well. They've lost to the Raptors in between this, but they seem to be playing better basketball, right?
Yeah, absolutely, without question, playing better basketball.
They're 8-12. Now they're not terribly far away from a playoff spot, especially being in the East. If you're a 500 team in the East, that should do it. They're getting closer. So what do you make of it for the Rockets, though? Chris Paul didn't play with a sore leg. The Rockets are now 9-10.
The Rockets are 9-10. That is pretty disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, they've lost now three in a row. They lost to the Pistons, the Cavaliers, and the Wizards.
Cavaliers, that's a tough one to swallow, definitely.
Their next game, they play against Hallie Luka and the Dallas Mavericks. So we'll see if they can get back on track.
Fascinating.
That game will be tomorrow. Why don't we talk about...
Tomorrow.
Why don't we talk about another player who had a big night last night, maybe out west. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I think so.
Where am I going?
I don't know. Tell me.
I'm going to Oakland, California.
Oh, you're going to the Warriors.
California.
Warriors, come out and play.
Kevin Durant, 49 points, carries the Warriors as they erase a 17-point halftime deficit, and they win 116-110. Kevin Durant is a man on a mission. Kevin Durant has seemed to overcome his struggles over the last couple weeks. His shooting seemed a little bit off, but it has not been off lately, Jeff. The Warriors are looking like they're getting back on track. And with that, they will be welcoming back Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins, all three within the next month here. So, they haven't even played a game with DeMarcus yet. It's kind of crazy to think about. Are the Warriors...
And DeMarcus already has a technical foul.
Yes.
He got ejected from a game.
So, will the...
He hasn't started a game. He hasn't played a single minute, and yet he already has an ejection. That's got to be some sort of impressive record.
The Warriors are 15-7. Will they lose three games here in the next 2 months?
Are you asking me if they're going to go like 73-9 again?
They probably won't do 73-9, but couldn't you see them like here in the next couple months losing like one game out of like 25 or something like that. Like, couldn't you see them going on a streak like that?
I mean, it's possible.
It's absolutely possible if Curry gets back, and he should be back for the next game. He's practicing now. Draymond should be back as well this week. So Cousins about a month away, but Draymond and Curry within the week or so. They're both day-to-day at this point. So their return is imminent, and Kevin Durant is playing as good as he's played all season right at this moment in time. This team could rifle off some wins, a lot of wins in a row. You want to know who they play next?
Who do they play next?
They play the Toronto Raptors.
They play the Toronto Raptors, you mm-hmm. say?
They do. Yeah, and then they play the Pistons, Hawks, Cavaliers. Some winnable games in that stretch there. But they do go on a road trip, so we'll see how they do.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Fascinating.
Anyways, what's your outlook for them? You know, we talked about a couple weeks ago about how the sky was falling for the Warriors, but now it looks like everything's right on track.
Yes, absolutely. Things are rolling good. Rolling good. What sentence was... Okay. Things are looking good.
You wanted to talk about an interesting Eastern Conference matchup last night, right? Between one of the top teams?
Sure, why not?
I said you wanted to.
I wanted to?
Yeah. You talked about earlier in our other sports segment about an interesting win by the Hornets.
Ah, yes. Thank you for reminding me. I'm very professional. The Hornets win. The Hornets beat the Milwaukee Bucks, arguably the best team in the East, behind or maybe in front of the Raptors in some people's minds. 110-107. Giannis with a pretty lackluster game for his circumstance, but it was still a great game. 20 points, 13 rebounds, and assists, and we're calling that a bad game.
What a bust.
Sure, that's just anger everybody.
Yeah, right?
He was the 15th pick in his draft.
Isn't that funny that he has a game like that and you're like, he could have done better.
But he was only the 15th pick. That's what's more incredible to me.
Yeah, he suffered from being a Euro player. I think that all players like that always take a hit in the draft because they're, you know, NBA scouts are worried that they can't transition over to the American game. But he's definitely transitioned. He's good.
He does have a chance to win the MVP.
He certainly does. But what about Kemba Walker? How did he do last night?
Kemba Walker had a pretty good game himself. He had 21 points, so he's better than Giannis.
In that regard?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, in that regard. But overall, both these guys have had better games in the past and kind of didn't play as well as they could have, so...
Tony Parker had a good game off the bench, too. 15 and 6.
Mm-hmm. 15 and 6 is pretty good.
Yeah, for 21 minutes, I would say so. 7 of 14 shooting.
That's almost a point per minute. Not even, actually.
That's close. It's a good game, though, for a bench point guard, though. You like to see that, you know, as Kemba's backup. Having a guy like Tony Parker, a very experienced player. Nice to see. So Milwaukee, though, they are now 14-6, and Charlotte is 10-10. Are you surprised by either one of those records?
Not really, because this is how they operate. You know, it's kind of like a maybe not a foregone conclusion, but it's a you're used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Celtics beat the Pelicans pretty handily last night, 124-107. Kyrie Irving, 26 points. You know, the Celtics had a pretty good all-around game from most of their players, but Gordon Hayward still, I know we've talked about him. We keep updating, you know, his status, but 23 minutes, only 5 points. He just still is looking not like the Gordon Hayward pre-injury. What do we make of it? Are we still giving him time?
That was one of the most gruesome injuries it was just bad. And so I'm going to give him about a year.
Right. Jason Tatum, 20 points, 7 rebounds, and an assist. The Pelicans now, Jeff, they started off the season very, very good, but they are now 10-11. They
pretty sure they were like first at one point in the West.
And they've lost their last four games. They lost to the Sixers, the Knicks, the Wizards, and the Celtics. So not really the best teams that they've lost to. Sure, the Sixers are good, but losing to the Knicks, the Wizards, and now the Celtics, are you starting to see maybe some cracks in this team? Maybe New Orleans isn't as good as we thought, or at least not
I honestly didn't think they were that good at the beginning. I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how I saw them at the beginning of the season. So this doesn't really surprise me. It surprised me that they were good and then they dropped, but not surprising that they've fallen.
Yeah, Anthony Davis, 27-16. Mirotić had 25 points and 5 rebounds. Yeah, I'm with you, though. It's like, even I had them, I think I had them like 6 or 7 mm-hmm. in my play. Like, I thought they were a playoff team, and they still might be a playoff team, but this loss again, the fourth loss in a row, is definitely hurting their aspirations. It's still very early, of course, but they've dropped a few spots already here in the last week. How about the Spurs? They squeak by the Chicago Bulls. They win 108-107. They come back in the fourth quarter, and they get the win. Spurs are 10-10. What do you make of their season so far?
Up and down, that's for sure. DeMar DeRozan looked like he was a potential MVP at the beginning of the season. Now he's kind of dropped off. Same as Marcus Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's like this is going to be an up and down year. They're going to be good at one point, and they were at the beginning, and now they're going to be down for a good couple of weeks, I would say.
Yeah, you know, for me, I had them outside the playoffs. I still feel that way. I feel like their record is exactly what they are. They're 10-10 right now. They look like a 41-41 team to me. They're very well coached. We all know Popovich, one of the best, if not the best coach in the NBA. But again, they lost Kawhi Leonard. And DeMar DeRozan, yes, is good, but he's not Kawhi Leonard. It took a hit from them. They also lost Ginobili and Parker. Two older players, yes, but still veteran leaders. And your culture will change when two players like that leave. You know, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Kawhi Leonard. That was a big part of their team for many years. So,
yeah.
We saw them transition from Tim Duncan just a couple years ago as well. So, you know, it's a different Spurs team, that's for sure. How about the Timberwolves? They get a win last night over the Cavaliers on the road. Minnesota back in the winning column. Cleveland back in the losing column. Cleveland is 4-15. Are they still the worst team in the NBA?
Yeah. I don't think there's
for
a question.
Sure.
Yeah. Hate to say it, but yeah.
Yeah. I would say so. Korver had a good game off the bench. 22 points in 22 minutes. 6 of 9 from 3. Nice game from him. Rodney Hood, 20 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. But yeah, how about Minnesota, though? You know, they are now 10-11. So they're right there, too. They're playing a little bit better since the trade. Covington had 24 points last night, 24-7. But anyways, I say we take a break and we come back. We need to talk about two teams, but we'll talk about the Sixers first. We'll talk about the Jazz in segment 3. We'll discuss both teams, their recent games, and the outlook going forward. We'll do that when we return.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
will go back to the GSMC basketball podcast. We're going to continue on with the NBA, I believe.
Yes, let's talk about the 76ers. They have a problem, and his name is Markelle Fultz. Let's dive into that. But before we go into it, Jimmy Butler has had two game-winning baskets here in the last week.
Clutch shots. Cold-blooded.
Yeah, so the Sixers, I think, made out well in that trade. I know that we're kind of going back, but Jimmy Butler, I feel like, was the right player to add.
We're going to be talking about that trade throughout the entire season. Let's just get real.
It just seemed like such a good move for them because Simmons and Embiid are great players, but they're not players like Butler. They're all three different in their own right, and I think they can all complement each other very well. And I think we're seeing that with Jimmy Butler as he's acclimating to his new role. And it sounds like he might want to be a Sixer long term. Do you think that would be a good idea for him?
I mean, it wouldn't hurt him. I mean, he's with a good team around him, so it can only benefit him, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it's a perfect situation for him. It gives him a chance to be on a team that is a winning team for the next few years, and it gives him the chance to leave his mark on a team where he doesn't have to really play second fiddle. Now, I know he might not be the biggest star on the team, or he might not be the biggest star on the team moving forward, but he is their one true wing player. Simmons is a point guard. Embiid is a center in today's NBA, for sure. But it gives him a chance to really, really solidify himself as a three. He's in the right conference as the competition is weaker in the East. It gives him an easier path to compete for a title each year, at least for a Eastern Conference championship and whatnot moving forward. But Jeff, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. That was Markelle Fultz, the player that the 76ers traded up for in a big draft last year, a highly touted draft. They move up. They get Markelle Fultz, a kid from Washington. He was a killer in college with his stroke. He could shoot the basketball. He lit it up. It's all looking like it's going downhill as, you know, he suffered a shoulder injury. He has now informed the Sixers that he will not be playing until after he sees a shoulder specialist. It sounds like that will be happening.
Whatever that means. Is there just one guy for one shoulder? Like, the left shoulder, that's my specialty.
Sounds like he will be looking at or getting looked at by a specialist here in the next couple days in New York. What do you make of this situation with Markelle Fultz and the 76ers? Because the Sixers said that they thought he was fine. Like, their doctors checked him out and said he's okay. But he's saying he's not. Do you think that there's something here? Do you think it's more of like a confidence thing with him?
I feel like it's more of a confidence thing with him. Just because I just have this gut feeling that he's putting too much pressure on himself. He's like coming up with more excuses, and he's just like, I feel like he overhyped himself. Like, oh, I'm the first pick in the draft. I need to be this good. You know what I mean? Just like, and he's letting that pressure get to him.
Yeah, I think the confidence has been lost by him. We know last year there was talk about him changing his shooting motion. I mean, he barely played last year. He hasn't had a game in the NBA where you're like, wow, no wonder why this kid was picked number one.
I honestly, when he first got picked number one, I did not know why he was picked number one. I'm going to be honest with you.
Why was that?
Just I came out of Washington. He wasn't like, I didn't see anything about him. I didn't see anything positive.
Was it because he played at Washington though?
Maybe that, but also I just have a feeling that he was overhyped.
I mean, we all have
He was a scoring machine, I get that, but I don't know. I didn't see the potential everyone else saw in him. That's just my opinion.
Do you think that he actually benefited from playing in Washington where like people didn't examine his flaws maybe as closely as other players?
Maybe, but
like,
again,
out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. Like you hear like, oh, he's number one, and then people just start saying that, but they don't really like watch him play, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think kind of people just accepted, like, someone said, oh, he's gonna be number one, and everyone just like,
yeah,
okay.
That's kind of what I was getting at. Like, You know, like you heard an NBA scout.
They didn't try to refute it?
Yeah, you heard an NBA scout say, man, this Fultz kid is, like, amazing, and then you don't really watch him play because he plays for Washington? And it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess he is really good. His numbers are really good. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's looking like it might be a big mistake, though. Can you imagine if they would have had another player right now, like Tatum or, I don't know. They probably wouldn't have taken a point guard because they had Ben Simmons.
Probably not.
But still. There is other players. Maybe a Donovan Mitchell. He would look good at the Sixers right now.
Definitely a possibility.
Although I would say most people didn't think Donovan Mitchell would have been so good so early.
I don't think anyone expected Donovan Mitchell to be this good.
Maybe the Jazz. But...
Well, they drafted him, so I'm assuming they did. But like we said, I think he exceeded potential.
Do you think that this marriage is heading for a divorce? Between Fultz and the Sixers.
Wouldn't shock me.
It is alarming to me when the team publicly states that there's nothing, that they don't think that there's anything physically wrong with him. And then like
they're calling
leaving.
His bull?
Yeah, like you know what I mean? Like even if they thought that, it is odd to me that they said that. Like that signals to me that
they
there's
don't
some
like
tension.
This.
Yeah. There's some tension, yeah.
That there's not
they're not necessarily yeah. supporting him.
This
right?
is not ending well.
So where will we go?
Where will we go? I'll miss you so.
You know,
I don't know.
You know, I was shocked that he wasn't included in the Butler trade. I was.
I think maybe they're like, oh, maybe he's better than we expected. I don't know.
I want to know, and I wonder if they offered him in that trade. And then if Minnesota said no to that trade, that's alarming. Like if we ever hear that Minnesota said that we didn't want Markelle Fultz, I would...
Put that
be
as a
floored.
Red flag.
I would be floored by that. Yeah, that would signal to me that this kid probably needs to go to the G League for a little bit.
Maybe he's meant to be in the G League. Maybe he's like Anthony Bennett.
There are some really good players picked in last year's draft. I know that we talked about they wouldn't take a point guard because they had Simmons, but I'm of the mindset that you just take the best player. Like, it doesn't matter what position they play.
You can always change his position.
Yeah, like, for me, like I wouldn't say no to Lonzo or De'Aaron Fox or one of the point guards just because I had Simmons. Like, sure, do you want them all to play on the court together? Yeah, but, like, what's the problem with having two studs at the same position, in my opinion? You know what I mean?
Like, I know what you're getting at. I see it.
Like, yeah, maybe one's off the bench or one's – or they play on the same – they play in the court together at the same time a little bit, but maybe they both are the best player with – the second unit and one with the starters. Like, I don't know. It's, for me, it's basketball. I just want the best players. Like,
I know what you're getting at.
But, you know, that missed pick could really hurt the Sixers because we talked about them getting Jimmy Butler. Can you imagine if Fultz worked out, if they had a starting five of a really good Fultz, a good Simmons, a good Butler, Embiid, and then whoever
they
else.
They might be the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it might go down as a... It's a big miss. Do you think that the Sixers, though, with this trade for Jimmy Butler, are now entering the conversation with the Raptors and the Bucks for the best team in the East?
Possibly. It's a question mark in my mind, but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like the Sixers are still expecting Fultz to rejoin the team here in the next week or two. And continue his role off the bench as he's no longer a starter. That's
how
usually
long was he a starter for anyways? He wasn't a starter for that long.
They tried him at, you know, off guard, him and Simmons. And it makes sense to have a shooter at the other guard spot because Simmons is a passing point guard, more of a slasher, right? So I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out how this ends well, but if his shoulder is messed up...
It sounds like it's going to be a bitter divorce.
Yeah, if his shoulder is messed up, that's not good.
They're calling him out on his hurt shoulder, like, oh, he's not really hurt. That's basically what they're saying.
But if it's something where he just kind of has the yips, you know, like, that's also really
nice
bad.
Nice How I Met Your Mother reference.
Isn't that a baseball reference?
It's mainly
Chuck Knoblauch couldn't throw to first base after all those years?
Yeah, but it's also, like, I think it's been more popularized by How I Met Your Mother.
Or when Rick Yankfield couldn't pitch.
Does anyone remember who Rick Yankfield is? I know Chuck Knoblauch. He's a Yankee. Everyone
Rick Yankfield? You don't remember him?
Hercule? What?
Rick Ankiel.
No, I'm
sorry. He was the left-handed pitcher for the Cardinals who all of a sudden couldn't pitch anymore because he couldn't throw the ball over the plate. He hit the backstop like four times in a row in a playoff game. That was his last time he ever, or not his last time he ever pitched, but that was a notable game that signaled something was wrong. He couldn't throw the ball to home plate anymore. So then
this is a basketball podcast, sir.
So then he reinvented his career as an outfielder. You don't remember him? He played a playoff game against the Giants where he hit a home run in McCovey's Cove, a monster home run in 2010. One that I think the ball is still going.
Oh, wait, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, sorry, we got off track a little bit. But if Marco Fultz has the yips, that's even worse than him having a shoulder problem. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But it's still bad.
It's definitely concerning when your team says, oh, I don't think he's hurt. That's alarming.
Yeah.
Because usually they defend the guy like, oh, he is hurt. We're going to watch him carefully. No, that he can play.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're like, yeah, he's not really hurt, but we're not going to tell people that.
Some
tomatoes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You having a starting a garden?
Sure.
Okay. Grow some tomatoes.
I don't know if I can say that word here. I don't know if I'll get in trouble for that.
All right. Well, why don't we let you contemplate that as we go to a break? You can stew on it for a couple minutes.
Contemplating.
Let's go to a break and talk about the Utah Jazz, how they did in their last game, what's going on with them, and what we see the rest of the season. We'll do that when we return.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. And now, what are we on? What is on our agenda for segment three?
We got to talk about the Utah Jazz and what's going on with them. I'll start with a recap of their game last night. They played the Indiana Pacers last night, and they were crushed 121-88. The Utah Jazz, they were playing a second game of a back-to-back, where they had beat the Kings in the first half of their back-to-back on the road. But they get smothered by the Pacers again for the second time in a week. They get crushed by the Pacers. The Jazz, they are now 9-12 on the season.
9-12.
Yeah, so
that's pretty disappointing.
They lost 121-94 against the Pacers. Then they lost to the Lakers. They beat Sacramento. And then they get crushed by the Pacers 121-88. What's going on here, Jeff? They're 9-12 right now. You know, I think I see them play. They win a game. I'm like, okay, they turn the corner.
I think it's time to panic.
They're the second worst team in the Western Conference. The only team with a worse record is the Phoenix Suns.
And that's saying something.
Yeah, so they're 2-6 at home, too. That's got to be one of the weirdest things to see.
Like, having a horrible home record is the weirdest thing, because usually it's the opposite way in every sport.
Yeah.
But when you can't win at home, how are you going to win away?
I mean, they've actually won more games away, right?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Isn't that insane? Like, how backwards that is? That is completely backwards.
Mm-hmm. So what do we make of them? Are they a playoff team? Are we closing the book on them, or are we waiting it out?
I won't close it yet, but I'll say I'm getting to the last page of the book, if you know what I mean. Getting ready to close it. Getting ready to, like, all right, I'm going to go to bed after I finish this chapter. I'm going to bookmark it. I'll get back to it later.
So last year, they were really good with Rudy Gobert. When he was in the lineup, they were one of the best teams in basketball. They went on a crazy run. I think they were 29-6 over the last 35 games last year. Crazy run. They were on fire. Rudy Gobert was healthy. We come into the season, we think, okay, if Rudy Gobert is healthy, the Jazz are a really good team. I had them as the number two team. I know that you weren't so high on them, but I still think that we both thought.
Do you think it's a fluke they got that 28-6 run or whatever you were saying before?
Well, they played a really good defense, and they were very efficient offensively. But the problem is they haven't been either of those things this year, and it's odd because they've retained the same players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're the same team. They're healthy. Yes, Mitchell's missed a couple games here, but relatively healthy. He has missed a couple games. Gobert has been healthy, which is the biggest thing for them, because with him in the lineup and with him out of the lineup, that was a huge difference for the Jazz last year.
Yeah.
Problem is that Jazz players not named Joe Ingles are shooting 30% from three this year. Jay Crowder, who leads the Jazz in total three-pointers, is shooting 29%. Donovan Mitchell shooting 29% as well from three. That's not good. And we talked about this many times before, Jeff, with the Lakers. Usually teams, you can look at their win-loss record by how well they shot the three-pointer that night.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if the Jazz are consistently well under the average, they're not going to win games. My question is, how can this team improve their three-point shooting and defending if they basically have all their players that are playing? I just don't know. Maybe last year was the fluke. Maybe it was. Do you think that this start of the season is the fluke, or do you think that last season was a fluke?
I'm saying the start of the season was a fluke. See, no, you know what? No, I got to go with the fluke from last season, because that run they had was incredible, no doubt about it. But, I mean, you should be able to keep that up throughout an entire season.
I also want to point out this. It might be an unpopular opinion, but do you think that Donovan Mitchell last year, that was just the best that he's ever going to be?
Possibly.
He. Some people would say he should have won the Rookie of the Year because they don't like that Simmons won. But beyond that, he had a really good season. He went to the playoffs last year.
Well, he is, quote-unquote, the uncrowned king, Rookie of the Year.
So here's the thing. There might be a reason why Donovan Mitchell wasn't drafted until number 13, and it's because he was one of the older prospects in the lottery. He wasn't a freshman. With that being said, we know that the theory is you draft players when they're freshmen because they have more room to grow. The upside is higher, right? The ceiling mm-hmm. is higher.
Correct.
Is Donovan Mitchell close to a finished product? And I'm not saying this negatively. I'm just saying, like, is he, like, you see, like, De'Aaron Fox, for example. Mm-hmm. He's made a jump from season one to season two. Like, we've seen other players make that jump, right? But is Donovan Mitchell just kind of who he is? Or do you expect him to get better individually? He's a good player. I'm not trying to say he's not a good NBA player. He's a very good NBA player.
Right.
But he's not, like... Some people would say, oh, he first year he did this good, he could be, like, the next superstar.
He's only on the rise. Like, he's going
the next superstar, right? Like,
I know that's kind of premature to say, to be completely honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand where you're coming from. But the bottom line is, I think that there's so much potential with this guy that that's what I say. The sky is the limit for this kid. I think that in the long run, he can be something amazing, but we're putting too much pressure on him right now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think he's gone through a little bit of a, not a slump, because he's not, like, playing terrible, mm-hmm. just like a lull, like maybe in his progression. I think we expect him to play better when he's healthy. But overall, I mean, I don't think he's the reason why the Jazz have been disappointing. It's just notable to point out. But I just don't know what to make of this team. They are, In a year full of weird starts, we've seen the Rockets, we've seen the Jazz, we've seen the Celtics all struggle pretty much. They might be the most baffling to me. I can't wrap my hand around it. Anyways, where do you see them finishing the season?
I don't see them making the playoffs.
Out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I still think they're a playoff team. I don't know. Maybe it's just me being though. Stubborn. It could be me being biased because I picked them to make the playoffs. It definitely could be that. I just think that if they could play defense well and be efficient on offense last year, why can't they do it this year? Like, I've seen them do it.
I see what you're getting at, but, like, there's season – like, one season – back-to-back seasons are two completely different things.
And I will say, I don't expect them to be the number two seed. I picked them to be the number two seed. I do not see that happening. I know the Rockets...
You change your mind on that?
Yeah, I know the Rockets have struggled, and I had the Rockets at the number three, but I can still see the Rockets getting that high. I just can't see it with the Jazz. I just really can't for the life of me. I don't know. I'll say... They're going to be right around 7 to 9, in my opinion. 7 to 9 range. Like, they could do it. They couldn't. They have to hover, though. They have a tough schedule this month. Their schedule will start to open up in the second part of the year, but you don't want to be so far behind when that starts to open up. You want to be hovering near that playoff spot so then you can make a move, take advantage of some of those poor teams, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at.
Rudy Gobert has been awful defensively this year, though, which is interesting to me. Teams, I do wonder if teams have kind of figured him out because they are drawing him away from the basket where he's less of a goalie. The Stifle Tower, they call him.
The Stifle Tower.
That's a great nickname, right?
I do like that a lot.
I mean, he's French. He's big. He blocks a ton of shots. He's the Stifle Tower. I mean, he just is. Although I heard a good Kevin Durant nickname last night. I think it was on ESPN.
Is it an insult?
Well, he already has good nicknames. They call him the Slim Reaper, which I really like. The Durantula. Mm-hmm. The Thin Man, I heard last night. The Thin Man.
The Thin, like as in like a like Thin
Mint? Like
the Tin
Man, you know, like the Tin Man.
Oh, I thought it was like the Thin Mint, but Thin Man.
Yeah, the Thin Man. That's what it was.
That's not cool.
Why?
Because you're just now... Just
like, not cool, like, degrading, or not cool, like, not hip?
Not hip. Not a very entertaining one.
Oh, okay.
It's like you're making an observation. He's thin.
The Thin Man. You wouldn't go with
like,
that?
Like, Stilts is a different one because it's, like, it's named after something. Thin Man is just like, oh, look, that's a thin man right there.
Yeah. And when they made the Wizard of Oz.
A nickname needs to be an object or some sort of mystical creature or something, like freak, or like a serious condition where you go to a mental asylum, like a freak.
Or the Slim Reaper, right?
Exactly.
Okay. I get it. So the Utah Jazz, they're currently last in their division. They're actually behind Minnesota. Is that weird?
A little bit. Minnesota is falling, though. They're falling rapidly.
They've been getting a little bit better, though.
Yeah, but I still think they're going to be... If they make the playoffs, it's going to be at the bottom of the barrel. And they'll have to play with the Wizards or something.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if you're listening to this and you haven't checked out the Holly Luca song yet, go ahead and do it. I'm getting a ton of responses already. People are just messaging me saying that this is like the greatest thing ever.
Who is texting? Your mom?
Just friends.
Your wife?
People that I know who like basketball.
Your people in your family that kind of have to like you because...
No, yeah. Jeff. People don't have to like me. They just naturally gravitate towards me.
I'm sure they do.
What can I say?
I'm sure they do.
What can I say, my friend?
You're... No. Say. Speak with me, okay? You repeat what I say. I'm...
No, I'm not doing this game.
Aw.
Sorry.
I'm no fun, sounds like I was going to say.
No, I'm a good time. People would say that.
Whatever.
Anyways, let's go to a break. When we come back, let's talk about other action in the NBA.
our final segment, segment.
Talk about if another team in the NBA is for real or not for real. And then I think college basketball, something big happened in the last week. We'll talk about that when we return.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the final segment of the GSMC Basketball Podcast.
Curse.
How they do that on... Do you know the radio where they go like, GMC at the morning game? Yeah. I want one of those for us.
Go ahead. Why don't you just do it every day?
GSMC in the morning basketball. Yeah.
All right.
Keep on whispering in my ear.
Now give everybody your Twitter handle.
At Jeff Malinoff. G-E-F-F-M-A-L-I-N-O-F-F. And my Instagram, which I follow, which I go on more, is at Jeff Malinoff as well.
Let him know if
and
you...
And what's your Twitter handle?
It's at Mark. That's with a C. Hella gets it.
What's
Hella
your Instagram?
As in Northern California.
What's your Instagram?
It's the same.
Is it really the same?
Mm-hmm.
How did your wife marry you again with that username? She know about it when you were dating her?
It was my incredible good looks and my stunning personality, I believe. That was it.
Looks? That haircut?
Probably really? My really good humor as well.
What humor?
A little pinch of my humor. You know, I think that sealed the deal.
You pinched her?
I did not.
Hey, honey, marry me. Pinch?
No, it's just a ring. That was it.
Did you pinch her with the ring?
I didn't.
Did you see any of those proposal videos where the guy loses the wedding ring like in the water or something? I feel so bad for those people.
Yeah, where like they do it like on a bridge or
and
like,
they
over
drop
a body
it.
Of water.
Yeah, and they drop it. It's like, ah, that's like hundreds of dollars.
Better have insurance.
That's thousands of dollars just right down the drain.
Yeah, don't propose on a canoe. I saw this.
You
like,
saw
you
it
know,
on
because,
a canoe?
Well,
how are you going to
no,
bend
no,
canoe?
No, no,
the
no.
One
I saw this article that was like, don't propose. Because like, if you're on a little tiny boat and like you propose and the girl like gets very excited, the boat will rock and you could fall or drop the ring. Like it becomes a very unsturdy situation.
What if she says no, that's just an awkward ride back.
Yeah, then you'll just throw it in the water and then regret it.
Yeah. Maybe not throw it in the water, but... That awkward moment of where, oh, she said no, and then you're going back and everyone's like, oh, you proposed, and then they figure it out, she said no.
Speaking of proposing, maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers will propose to Zion Williamson in next year's draft, because right now he's the, I guess, consensus number one overall
They're
pick.
Just going to get down on one knee in the middle, like the owner of the team is going to get down on one knee and propose to Zion.
I could see it. So, let's talk about Duke. What happened? They lose to Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's down number one in the
nation. Did you watch that game?
That
was a good game.
It was a good game. It was a very good game.
Yeah, we saw an experienced Gonzaga, you know, beat Duke. Duke struggled for a lot of that game. They made it interesting. They came back. They went on a run late. But Gonzaga played very well.
Gonzaga may be the best basketball team in the world, in the nation.
You say Gonzaga, I say Gonzaga. You know, Gonzaga, Gonzaga, like that.
What I say?
That should replace tomato, tomato, right? Gonzaga, Gonzaga.
Do people use the word tomato?
Is it Gonzaga or Gonzaga?
Who uses tomato?
I think it's Gonzaga.
I'm pretty sure it's Gonzaga also.
Because they say the Zags, right? They don't say the Zogs.
Let's go, Zogs. It sounds like an alien race wanting to be part of a human race.
You're going
to
go to the Zogs game? You're going to go to the Zogs game?
Nobody likes Zognoids.
Plus, if it was Zaga, it'd be the Zogs.
I want to eat these peanuts because they are human food.
No, but get this. If it was Gonzaga, they'd be the Zogs dogs because they're the bulldogs.
I'm out of here.
Just leave. Didn't you say you had a date to go on today anyways?
Yeah, but that's not until 7:30.
Oh, 7:30. I thought your date got off work early.
That is her getting off work early.
Oh.
She works at a lab.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Mm-hmm. So Gonzaga, 89-87 over Duke. Were you shocked to see that Duke lost? Be honest.
A little bit, yeah.
They were playing one of the best teams in the country, but it was Duke. Like, they've just been demolishing some teams, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kentucky, they just killed them.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be a great team themselves. And that really shows how good Gonzaga? I don't know which one to say.
Zaga.
Which one? The Zags. How's that better?
There you go. It shows how good the Zags are?
Yeah, seriously, though. It shows that this team can be a potential, could make it into the Final Four and maybe win a national title game and not have somebody cry in the middle of the court and get drafted by the Bobcats and be a bust.
That kid, Rui Hachimura, made a name for himself. He was regarded as the Zags' best player forward from Japan. 20 points, 7 boards, 5 assists.
I wonder how they found out about him. I credit the scouts on that one.
Yeah, so he had a really good game. You know, for Duke, Williamson had 22, Barrett had 23, Cam Reddish had 10. It was just for me, Duke went on a run late, but they never really took a hold of the game and ran with it. They had a chance to break out. Even when they were playing, had a few good possessions in a row. Gonzaga ultimately would respond or kind of stop the run a little bit. They got a great coaching staff. Gonzaga is one of the best coach teams in the country. So it's easy to see why it'd be hard to come back against them. But yeah, now they're number one. Gonzaga is the number one team in NCAA, and Duke is now 3.
All right. Well, do you think they should have been number 2 and not number 3? Do you think should have went just down to 2?
You would think, but Kansas is 5-0, so maybe they're waiting till they lose or something like that.
Mm-hmm. True.
But how about we talk about the number one team in the Western Conference in the NBA? Because, man, who would
obviously
saw this
it's
coming?
It's the Warriors, right?
It is not.
What?
Who saw it's an LA team being in first place, not named the Lakers? The Los Angeles Clippers are your number one team in the West. They are 13-6. How shocked are you?
Actually, very shocked because the Clippers were not supposed to be good.
They're on pace to destroy their Vegas projection by 18 wins. Do you think they can keep this up?
If they continue to play like this, they're going to have 18 wins more than what Vegas said they would?
Yeah, they're on pace to destroy their over-under. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Let's pump the brakes just a tad, because who knows what's going to happen a month from now. They might be on a 10-game losing streak by then. Who knows?
Do you expect them to keep this up, or do you expect them to fall back to earth? Obviously, we don't think they're going to get number one seed because we expect the Warriors to, but do you think that they could be a top 4 seed?
No, I hate to say it, but no. I could see them in the playoffs, but not in the – I could see them at 5. The best I say is 5.
You know, they just beat Portland.
I know.
They beat some really good teams. Tobias Harris is making money because he is going to be a unrestricted free agent this year. He is on a tear. He has the best true shooting percentage for any player in the NBA that has at least 300 attempts. That's higher than Harden. That's higher than Durant. Insert name here. He's higher than. This guy has always been a good player. But it really seems like at the age of 26 that he's a budding superstar. I know that it kind of seems like he came out of nowhere, but man, he's about to hit the open market. What a time to have a career year.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, at the small forward position.
Especially on your free agent, like on your free agent year.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this is a resume year, or this is an audition tape you're doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't go much better, and he's probably going to get a huge contract out of it.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely is.
But will they keep him is the question. Will they try to keep him everything they can, or do you think he's going to a new team?
Clippers have a week ahead of them where they can get some more wins, too. Kind of an easier break in their schedule. They play against Phoenix, and then they play against Sacramento. They play against the Mavericks and the Pelicans. Those teams are all like middle of the pack or lower in the Western Conference. So they could do some damage there. They could really do some damage, right?
Well, I guess we will see.
Yeah, so anyways.
Only time will tell.
That's all I got for today. You have anything you want to add in the world of basketball?
No, I'm okay. Good. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
Join us on Thursday.
Yes, and a shout to my date. And tonight, I'm taking her bowling, I think. We're going to the little bowling, a little classic first date bowling. A little fun adventure. But a little shout out to her. Hopefully, we have a fun time. If we don't, this is going to be very awkward. Anyways, I hope you all enjoyed the show. Please tune us in. We got our soccer and baseball and sports tomorrow. And Thursday, we have the same football, sports, and basketball, as well as football and sports today. Make sure you check that out. And as always, I'm Jeff, that's Mark, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.